Hello, everyone. I hope you like the things we're going to say.
Yeah, we are Lee and Herring here on 1FM with 1 hour of chat. We've got some great music and some rubbish music as well.
Lee and Herring, better than Bruno Brooks, not as good as John Peel.
This download is brought to you by www.fistoffan.net.
In 1962, in Liverpool's Cavern Club, the MC took to the stage in front of a mob of screaming, excited girls. He was about to announce the name of a band, a name that would then have been unfamiliar to anyone outside of Liverpool, but a name that regulars of the Cavern Club were sure would one day be on the lips of the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, will you please welcome them? Remember their name, they're going to be big, I promise you. Yes, it's Ian and the Zodiacs.
They were wrong. The name Ian and the Zodiacs remained meaningless to the vast majority of humankind. For Ian and his Zodiacs enjoyed a brief residency in the Star Club in Hamburg and were then forgotten. Everyone decided they liked the Beatles instead. And that is true. Ah, well, that's show business. And look who's coming on the radio now. Another showbiz act that promised much but delivered nothing. The soon-to-be-forgotten so-called comedy duo. The modern-day Ian and the Zodiacs, Lee and Herring.
Oh, hello.
You're a flash in the pan.
Right, come on, leave it out now.
Losers.
Get out of here, you rude man.
Wait, I'm going.
I'm Stuart Lee.
And I go by the name of Richard Herring, and welcome to the Lee and Herring Anthology Star Beatles Special.
This is Jimi Hendrix with his version of Beatles Day Tripper. See if you can work out who the mystery celebrity backing vocalist is.
It's John Lennon's team.
Yeah, all right.
Got a good reason.
Impregnating your mind with the sperm of childishness.
She's a big teaser. She let me have the way there. She's a big teaser. She let me have the way there. Now, was it day to go? Can we try again? So long. Find out.
Jimi Hendrix just said, oh, Owsley, can you hear me now there? Now, Owsley was the name of the chemist who sold him all of his LSD.
Yeah, I don't think he was asking if he could hear him.
I don't know, it just seems like showing off. It's sort of going, look, Owsley, I can play the guitar. Yeah. Can you see I'm really good?
Vain man, isn't he, Jimi Hendrix? Yeah. Of course, talking of drug dealing, something unrelated, Jason Donovan has collapsed again, hasn't he? In a cafe, fell over and choking on his tongue.
Oh, he must have had a bad roll or something.
Yeah,
something like that. That'd be it. Yes, it's Beatles week here on the Lee and Herring Show. It's other news this week, though, the Beatles, Lady Diana. Her former lover, James Hewlett, was in the paper this week. A former lover of his described him in The Star by saying they called him the Royal Artillery because he had the biggest weapon in the army.
That seems very dangerous. They let him keep a tank or something, or a missile of some kind in his room.
I think it was some kind of euphemism, Rich, for something. Perhaps his penis. I don't think they meant...
Well, why didn't they say that if that's what they meant? They meant his penis. They should have said penis.
The same former lover also revealed her horror at the size of James Hewlett's privates when she saw them on parade.
Was he in a battalion of unusually high, usual height, above
again,
average?
Misunderstood.
Giant,
it was a euphemism.
For what?
It's obvious what it is.
It's
obvious. But then his former lover warned that James Hewlett has become cynical and bitter and now hates the world.
Well, that is dangerous because he's got those big weapons, isn't he, and that battalion of giants he hangs around.
Which you haven't understood. It was a euphemism. They were saying they're not talking about the size of his soldiers.
What, he's got a big penis?
Yeah.
Well, he could wee all over
the
world, couldn't he? If it's so big, he could.
He
Well, could wee everywhere.
Move on.
Everyone could
move,
drown
move
in his
on,
wee.
Move on. And what is the question?
The question on everybody's lips this week, Stu, is after the Princess Di interview, has got to be, was Princess Di's nose bigger than you thought it was? I thought. What do you think, Stu?
I think it was bigger than I'd thought, definitely.
I had no idea it was that big. What, yeah. Ronnie Anconi, you're here today. What do you think?
I have to say I was shocked by the nose's bigness. I mean, I must admit, I always remembered her having a nose that was on the large side of average, but Monday's nose was significantly bigger than that. Much bigger.
So what do you think, Pete? What do you think about the nose?
I was watching Cracker.
Pete was watching a cracker.
Kev, Kevin Eldon, you see?
Come on, listen to you going on and on and on about some overprivileged slony arse and her problem with cakes. Right, when this week what's happened? There's been a Bosnian peace treaty of sorts signed, which will probably bring to an end, you know, 4 years of the bloodiest warmongering Europe's ever seen since 1945. Now you're going on about a royal schnozzle.
That isn't the question we asked. We're saying, what do you think of her nose? Answer the question.
If you have to know the truth is, what a lot of people don't realise is that she has got a normal-sized nose with just a very, very small head.
Well, and thank you for getting around to answering.
Rich, stop. This is a very important issue. The future of the monarchy is at stake, Rich.
Well, that nose, though, Stu.
There can't be any sane person left in the country, I'd argue, who would disagree that the royal family have to be dismantled and punished as they are parasitical, boring, fornicating waste of everyone's time.
That is correct.
What? You've got the problem of what, if anything, would you replace them with? Rich, what would you replace the royal family with?
I've got a good idea. What about replacing them with the Kinder Eggs Crazy Croco collection? There's quite a lot of them. They're brightly coloured.
Very good suggestion. Pete, what would you replace the royal family with, Peter?
Shapes.
Coloured shapes. Coloured shapes.
Yeah, like sort of squares and circles and stars and things. Queen could be a sort of triangle.
Yeah.
Ronnie Anconi, any ideas for
that? Well, I think the spitting image puppets, but without the puppeteers working them or giving them any voices, just sort of lying in their boxes like inanimate rubber shells.
Yeah, well, some people would say the country's already run by a bunch of puppets.
What do you mean? What do you mean it's not? It's run by human beings. Are you mad?
He has a point there, Kev. Yeah. No, I know what you're trying
to
do.
What do you think, Kev? What do you think it should be replaced by?
Well, the monarchy should be replaced by ordinary working people.
Working people?
Yeah.
Like who? Come on! What workers?
You don't know anyone.
Come on!
Okay, right.
You're an actor.
Milkmaids.
Well, anyway, we've got a competition this week. Ring in on 0500 110 100 with your suggestion as to what the royal family would be replaced with, and the best suggestion will win. What, Rich?
They will win all our crap merchandising rip-off stuff, which are Fist of Fun book, CD, and video as well. Plus, two different identical pairs of Celine Dion singles.
That's right,
on CD.
Ring in on 0500 110 100 for that. This week, the Sun campaign, Rich.
Yeah, because they've got to stop taking drugs, you know, which I think is a good thing. And what they've done is they've got various celebrities to say they don't want to take drugs, like Yvette Fielding, the ex-Blue Beetle.
Oh, I am impressed.
Yeah. So that'll make people. So Wolf said he wouldn't, and Ronan from Boyzone advised young 17-year-old people not to take drugs.
What are you
so
do
I've got my own. Now I've decided to follow that lead to come up with the Richard Herring Top Celebrity Say No to Drugs campaign. The Richard Herring Top Celebrity Say No to Drugs campaign.
Hello, I'm TV News' Julia Somerville. I don't take drugs, so why should you? Up-to-the-minute commercial news broadcasts are far more exciting than any drug. Taking drugs is stupid. You might say, so is allowing your boyfriend to take photos of your bare naked daughter in the bath. But that is different. Drugs are bad.
See, Julia Somerville says don't take drugs, Stu. That'll stop you.
That's really made me think that.
Yeah, well, it should make you think you should stop taking drugs and you shouldn't, you know, and that goes to everyone at home and there's more celebrities later. Anyway, it's a Beatles show, isn't it, this week? And our first guest on the Beatles show today has gone down in history as probably the biggest idiot ever to have lived in the world. He is the man who famously turned down the Beatles. It's Ken Mott. Ken, hello. If you don't mind me saying, you must feel like a
idiot.
Prize idiot.
No, I turned down the Beatles. I'm proud to say it.
But every day, Ken, surely you must wake up, feel stupid, bang your head against a wall, cry and say, I turned down the Beatles, why did I do it?
It was the right thing to do.
They've gone on to become the most successful money-spinning group of all time. Every morning and think,
I think you misunderstood. I didn't turn the Beatles down for a record contract. The Beatles asked me out, you know, to go out with them for the night, and I turned them down. I said no, they were astonished.
What do they want to do?
Well, they wanted to go down the arcades and then onto the fair. George Harrison wanted to go on one of those rides with the, like, ladybird car things on it that goes round in a circle, you know, for little kiddies.
Stop making excuses.
It was pathetic and childish.
You turned down the Beatles.
I was 28. I might have gone to the pub with them, but honestly, then John Lennon said, wouldn't it be good if we could get some fizzy pop and then go back to his grand's house afterwards? And I said, no.
You turned down the Beatles. Well, everyone thought I was mad when I told them about it.
Yes, I turned down the Beatles, but I think it was right. I think it would have been a rubbish night. And even if I was wrong, it seems ridiculous to be still criticised for it all after all this time. And you're guilty of this. It's all ever people talk about. I've done loads of other stuff in my life.
We turned down the Beatles. That's all you ever did.
Can you listen to this? I've invented a new, more efficient artificial hip that's helped thousands of people to live better lives. Nobody ever goes on about that. Would you like to hear about it?
No.
Oh, how surprising. Well, you should, because it's interesting. Because most
Ken Mott there, the man who turned down the Beatles. That's all he did.
That's right. And just as Ken Mott there will always be remembered as the man who turned down the Beatles.
Similarly,
Eric Idle will always be remembered as the man who was good in Monty Python, but since has done nothing but rubbish.
No, come on. What about his literally fab Beatles spoof, The Ruttles? Here's a cover of one of the hilarious Ruttles spoof songs from that excellent pastiche.
It's only any good, Rich, because Neil Innes wrote it, as you know.
No, Stu, Eric is very talented. He wrote the signature tune to One Foot in the Grave, which he sang himself in an amusing false Cockney voice.
Yeah.
And he wrote the song for that Woolwich advert a couple of years ago as well.
This is the Pussy Willows with Hold My Hand.
You said pussy.
Yeah, all right. Those Royal Family replacement suggestions coming in on 0500 110 100.
Ian Norman of York suggested replacing them with Martin Clunes and the Men Behaving Badly team. He says they'd be better behaved than the lot we've got. Do keep those Royal Family suggestions coming in, 0500 110 100. Also, if you want to write to us, we only got one letter this week, so I feel very sad. We didn't give the address, though. It's room 1006, Broadcasting House, London, W1A1AA. We got our time for our second Beatles-related
guest. It's Beatles week.
It is Beatles week, and our second guest is Keith Narvin. He's the self-styled 10th Beatle. He claims to be the 10th Beatle.
Keith, the 10th Beatle.
That's right, Stu. I think there are five people, actually, who have a better claim to have nearly been one of the Beatles than me.
Yeah.
But only five.
Yeah.
So if you add that to the other four Beatle members, that does make me the 10th Beatle, yes.
The 10th Keith, the 10th Beatle. Yeah. How did you nearly get in the Beatles?
Must be quite a story.
It is.
Let's hear it.
There was an advert in the paper, right? Drummer wanted for new band, the Beatles.
Yeah.
And I thought about replying to it. I genuinely thought. I mean, I think about it now. If I had replied to it, could have been me.
You didn't.
Not Ringo. I know, but if it had been, it would have been me drumming on the drums, wouldn't it? I mean, when I look back, to be honest, it makes me sick. I can tell you now, when I look at their success, I just always think that could have been
Keith,
me.
The 10th Beatle claim rests only on the fact that you saw this advert in 1962. It's a bit tenuous, if you don't mind me saying so.
Well, it wasn't 1962. It was a friend of mine showed me an old paper about 1985 that it was in. But I can still remember thinking, if I'd seen that in 1962 and I'd replied, I could have been in the Beatles. I'm sick about it.
If you'd seen it in 1962, but you didn't, did you? You saw it in 1985. That's 15 years after the Beatles split up. One of them was dead by then.
I'm kicking myself.
You know, it's rubbish.
If I'd only just seen it in 1962, and if I'd been able to play the drums,
you couldn't even play the drums.
No, but it's only banging a stick about it, isn't it? I mean, I could have lurched off one of their records, and then that could have been me. Me running up to that stage in Shea Stadium, I tell you what I think of the girls, the drugs, the money I missed out on. It makes me sick. Do you hear? Sick to the stomach. And I think of how close I was. Yeah, oh, John!
You couldn't have learned off one of their records, could you? And if you'd, you know, yeah, if you'd seen the advert maybe a few days in advance, well, Keith, you could have learned to play the drums in time for the audition. You know, you're talking just maybe.
It's gibberish.
Well, but if they delayed the audition a bit, right? Yeah. I mean, I wasn't born till 1970.
Oh,
so the audition was 8 years before my birth. So realistically, people. The audition would have had to have been in 1974 at the earliest, because I'd have had to have been at least, like, four to play the drums as well as Ringo.
Well, three.
But I tell you, I'm kicking myself!
Yeah, no,
I'm
like, sickened! There, mate.
I thought of suicide!
Keith, don't mind me saying, I think your claim to be the 10th Beatle is a vain one, in both senses of the word, mate.
All right, fair enough, yeah. 11th.
No, not it's the 11th.
15th.
About 400th.
If that,
you know, that's been nice. Anyway, do get your suggestions about the Royal Family coming in, and you'll be able to speak live on the radio if you do. Anything, they could be replaced by anything. Like, maybe they could be replaced by the National Lottery. If you win the National Lottery, you become king for the day. That's on 0500 110 100.
Hello. I am Simon Kudlak. You may know me by my hobbies, for I am not a hobby horse. No. I am a hobby lion or a hobby blue whale, for I am lord of the hobby animal kingdom and not just a horse, which is rubbish. I am here with another hobby. Oh, yes. I am far from having exhausted my supply of hobbies, I can tell you. So, if you have begun to get bored or annoyed by me, then that is bad luck, because I will be here for some time to come yet. I can tell you Amy Kirkwood of Halifax. This week's hobby is an excellent hobby, because unlike the majority of hobbies, it is one that can only be done under the cloak of night, thus giving you a hobby to do when many less serious hobby practitioners will be safely tucked up in bed like babies. What you will need for this hobby? A telescope or a strong pair of binoculars, a notebook and pencil, a flask of weak lemon drink, and a set of dark clothing and a balaclava helmet to hide your face so that you will not be recognised. A traditional hobby that boring people like Neil Petarch think is good is stargazing. However, they are wrong to like it. Stars are dull and are always the same. And if it is cloudy, the stargazer will have a wasted hobby night. My hobby incorporates the same telescope-based skills, but is much more interesting. This hobby is bra-gazing. What you must do. Select a house in which you know at least one female or transvestite man lives. Then hide yourself and your telescope in their garden and wait. Some people bra-gaze during the day by waiting for a woman or transvestite man to do their washing and then looking at their bras at the washing line. However, this is not the right way to bra-gaze, because it is impossible to see the size or shape of a damp bra hanging on a line, and you do not need a telescope. Wait until your chosen woman or transvestite is going to bed and taking off their clothes, and then use your telescope to look through a chink of the curtain and look at their bra. Note the make, colour and approximate size of the bra in your notebook and draw a picture of it as well. Ah, today's bra is a Grey Gossard 44D. Then drink your weak lemon drink. Drink it down in one in celebration of your success.
Hey, you! What are you doing?
Oh, dear. For some reason, some men do not like it if they see you looking at their almost bare wives through a telescope.
Are you looking at my wife?
No, you idiot. I'm looking at her bra.
You pervert!
Oh, my cranium! No, you do not understand. This is my hobby.
I'll be you, mate.
Oh, no, look, you see, I have drawn a picture of your wife's bra. Here, look, you should be proud. It is one of the biggest bras I have ever seen.
Dirty little...
Oh, no, do not gouge my eye. Despite the inherent dangers of this hobby, it is still a good hobby, and it is much better than stargazing. Stars are always exactly the same, whereas the bras, even of the same woman or transvestite man, change daily. Also, because of the distance the starlight has had to travel, many of the stars you see in the sky have long since exploded and died, whereas the bras are real and definitely still here today. And there are only a finite number of stars to look at, but there are infinity bras to see and new ones being made every day. Plus, bra gazing gives you a fair idea of what the women or transvestite men might look like if they were bare. That isn't why I do it, though. Do your hobbies! Do them! Do them! Do your hobbies!
There's only one station that really talks music.
1, 2, 3, 4, hit it!
James Brown was born on the 3rd of May, 1933.
And from that enthusiasm came the story of pop.
The origin of rock and roll was dead.
Without the Fender Stratocaster guitar, the popular music of the last 40 years would have sounded very different.
This is Leonard Cohen, and for the next hour on BBC Radio 1, I'll be talking about my work.
Award-winning, in-depth, and unique.
Welcome to Air Sculpture, the first of two programmes on the life and work of Frank Zappa.
Radio 1 documentaries, Sunday evenings, 7 till 8, 97 to 99 FM, Radio 1.
This is a track from the album by William Shatner.
He's Captain Kirk in Star Trek, isn't he?
Yeah, as it's Beatles week, this is his version of the Beatles classic Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
And he was in the cartoon version as well. He played Captain Kirk's voice in his cartoon. It's good. Excellent. Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly. A girl with kaleidoscope eyes. Cellophane flowers of yellow and green towering over your head. A girl with a sun in her eyes, and she's gone.
She's gone. She's gone.
Ooh, Shatner obviously thinks you actually have to take LSD to perform this song, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, at least he had a go, you know. All credit to him where it's due.
By a fountain where rocking horse people eat marshmallow pies. Everyone smiles as you drift past the flowers that grow so incredibly high. Newspaper taxis appear on the shore waiting to take you away. Climb in the back with your head in the clouds and you're gone!
I like the way these women sing the Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds in that very bland poppy way, not the getting increasingly more exciting like John Lennon and that lot did.
Picture yourself on a train in a station with plasticine porters, with looking glass ties. Suddenly, someone is there at the turnstile. A girl with kaleidoscope.
The Richard Herring Top Celebrities Say No to Drugs campaign.
Hello, it's me, the small boy from the end of that old McCain's Oven chip ad who says most excellent in a posh voice when it obviously is only a cool thing to say if you're an American and in the Bill and Ted films. I don't take drugs, so why should you? McCain's Oven chips are better than any drugs you could have, I expect. I don't know because I've never taken drugs, as I said before, so there's no point in listening to me. I obviously don't know what I'm talking about, but taking drugs isn't most excellent, it is most unexcellent.
Yeah.
Very impressive, Rich. What an impressive celebrity to pull in, the boy from the McCain's Oven Chips.
Well, I think that will turn a few young people's heads. They'll think again before they take their ecstasies. Yeah. We've got Paul from Wandsworth on the line. Paul, I believe you have a suggestion for something to replace the Royal Family with.
Indeed.
What is it?
I think a big meat pie. A meat pie, about 2 metres in diameter.
Yeah. About 2 metres, you say?
Would have to be 2 metres, do you think?
Yeah, I'd say 2 metres.
That's a good suggestion, Paul. Don't forget,
the best suggestion of the evening will be implemented by force.
In our opinion, yeah.
Thanks a lot, Paul. We had some calls in. Chris Rowan of Leicester would like to see the Royal Family replaced with purple straw donkeys from Spain.
That's quite a good
Matthew
idea.
Matthew McGregor of Norfolk would like to see them replaced with a group of grandfather clocks. And Roy Anderson of the West Midlands would like to see them replaced with candles, which is an inventive thing. Anyway, it's time for the listings now with Kevin Eldon and Ronnie Ancona.
Well, hello there, guys.
Hello.
So, what have you got for us this week?
Well, Rich, if you're at a loose end this weekend, why not pop along to Deskworld? This small desk museum in Devon has over 3 desks and a wall display detailing the history of the desk. It also includes a list of desk-related historical figures and modern-day celebrities who are known to have sat at least one desk at some time. Now, Deskworld is run by Ian Desk, who became interested in desks as a child because his surname was Desk. But now he says he likes desks desks in their own right, and he would still have a desk museum even if his name wasn't Ian Desk, although he says he has no plans to change his desk name.
And what about this? Tiny children that wee venom will be on display in Mel Square Solihull on Monday at night. The venom-weeing children have been bred in captivity with science by local school teacher Mr. Philip Griffiths and can use their wee venom as a cobra or spider mite to stun their prey, namely flies, beetles and newly born babies. The venom-weeing children must not be taunted or teased or they will become violent. The wee venom children are monsters, I tell you, says their creator Griffiths. If they escape, they might take over planet Earth. My decision to display them is madness. That weeing will commence at 3 a.m.
How about this? The Mel Smith and Griffiths Jones Dark Ride Museum opens in London Docklands this Saturday. Now, you can climb aboard a giant Mel or Griff-shaped train and trundle off past a montage of their finest moments in Not the 9 O'Clock News. You can take a sharp corkscrew turn at a diorama of the two funny men getting their own show and deciding to copy all the best bits of Peter Cook and Dudley Moore, and then shake with terror as a previously tranquil trip suddenly spirals vertically at 150 miles per hour through a pool of comedy vomit while you are bombarded with corrupt advertising images and hail and paste reject scripts. And at the end of the journey, why not queue up with other delighted trippers to throw rotten fruit and monkey excrement at burning effigies of the two ashamed Oxbridge people?
Or how do you fancy tucking into a giant dog winky winking pie? Well, now you can. A giant pie made of dog winkies will be on display in Market Harbour Town Square as usual next year. This year, the pie is in the shape of the face of TV's Tim Vine of Housemates fame, and one of his eyes has a moving pastry eyelid which appears to wink in the breeze.
Christopher Owen, this week, news in. He tried to smuggle 29 rare bird eggs into the country inside his pants.
Allegedly.
Yeah, very dangerous.
Trying to keep them warm in there to hatch, though.
That's right, there's a danger that if they do hatch out, remember, birds do treat the first thing they see as if it is their mother. A bit of a risk made by Christopher Owen there. Maybe that's what he wanted, yeah. This is the Backbeat Band from the Beatles movie Backbeat, playing a version of Slow Down.
Lee and Herring, massively popular in Cardiff. You gotta give me a little love,
give me a little love. Ow! If you want our love to last.
I like that beat, that's with Nick Berry.
Well, I used to walk you home, baby, at school. Carry your books home, too. But now you got a boyfriend down the street. Boy, what you trying to do?
Lee and Herring. They fall either side of the average male height divide.
If you want our love to last.
Got a call in from Barry. What, Barry, how you doing, mate?
I'm fine.
Yeah, what should we replace the royal family with, do you think?
I think they should be replaced with giant mice, of course.
Giant mice, that's a good suggestion, Barry. You got one, Pete.
Yeah, you could replace them with, like, things named after them, like a queen replaced by a queen bee.
That's good.
Prince Charles.
Barry like that
dog or prince.
That's good.
And
so on.
Princess Diana replaced by a car.
You're running out, aren't you, Peter? And Paul Kelly from Dumfries says, why not replace them with a pack of pear drops?
Thanks, Paul.
Because that would be stupid, Paul.
When Nick Berry's wife died, wasn't it? Ah.
Lee and Herring, Jazz and Dave without the songs, beards, or cockneyness.
The Richard Herring Top Celebrities Say No to Drugs campaign.
Rod Hull, of Rod Hull and Emu fame, I am him. You remember? You should be like me. I don't take drugs, I don't. I thought up the idea of having an emu on the end of my arm without drugs, and my hair is just like that naturally. Drugs are bad. Putting a puppet over my hand and then grabbing at small boys' genitals is enough of a drug for me. So if anyone offers you drugs, just say no. Rod Hull, that's me, doesn't take drugs. And then look at their impressed faces.
See,
that's Rod Hull, was it?
It was Rod Hull, yeah, he doesn't take drugs.
The real Rod Hull.
It was really him, yeah.
He's very, very
good.
Impressive.
Do get those calls coming on 0500 110 100. We've got another guest, Beatles-related guest. It's Dave Simmons. I believe you have a unique Beatles story, Dave.
Yeah, well, I was born and bred in Liverpool, but I never, ever met any of the Beatles. Never saw them play, never knew any of their relatives, never heard any of their songs. I've heard of them, but wouldn't recognise them.
That's almost unbelievable.
Well, people find it very hard to believe, you know. But I was brought up in Liverpool in the 60s. Yeah. I lived in a little street called Matthew Street.
That is the street the Cavern Club was on, isn't it?
The what?
The Cavern Club.
Must
that's
have
where the Beatles...
It.
Well, it was very noisy, I remember that.
And yet, even so, did you go to the same school that they went to?
I don't know if I did or not. I don't.
Well, you weren't friends with them or anything like that?
No, I've never heard any of their songs.
And I can't believe it.
Be able to
that is a unique and fascinating story. Have you had any more calls?
Well, just time to mention that David Williams of Cardiff suggested the royal family should be replaced by a selection of vegetables, as seen on That's Life, amusingly shaped as various genitalia.
Yeah.
We had another suggestion from Steve Levin, who would also like to see the royal family replaced by pear drops too. There. Join us again after the news. This is News Beat.